great privilege being here today. Pastor Joe Lizardo asked me to say a few words about myself. To start with, you can tell by my accent that I did not born in this country, but I'll do my best. He asked me yesterday, we were having a conversation yesterday, and I was hoping I could preach in Portuguese, and you all understand. But it doesn't look that way, so I'll do my best to bring the Word of God. It's a great privilege being here with a few people that we know here, family Adamo, for example, from TCS. It's a great privilege to see you guys here. And it's really good to be here also with my family. You met already my wife that sings, and my kids, and a couple other members from our church that are here with us today. My name is Daniel Vell. I born in Portugal. No, I did not. Let me correct that. I raised as a Portuguese. I was raised in Portugal, but I actually born in Germany. But I am serving the Lord in this country for 11 years. Today is actually our church anniversary. And I can tell by the prayer before that somebody got my email. I don't know who, but somebody get my email. It's a big day for us as a church today. For 11 years, we've been preaching in Portuguese in Clifton. We were in Union for a while, Roosevelt Park. We were in Kinnelon during pandemic. And today, we are in North Arlington, right next to Pastor Damien, which is a good friend, right there in Kearney. We are a couple blocks away from him. And he's... And we have been trying our best to reach the Portuguese community and the Portuguese speaker community with the gospel, which is very hard, very traditional Catholic, and very hard to break in with the gospel of Jesus Christ. A little different from the American culture, other different problems. But praise the Lord for the time that we have been there. Our main location is in Clifton, and we are thankful today for these 11 years. And another thing that makes our day so special today as a church, we are, God is brawling among us one elder, and he's going to be ordained today. And he is with us today, Brother Marcio. And we are so thankful. We've been praying for this for a long time, the need that the church has. We are a very small group. We're very active. And I really love the church that I serve. I am very, not because they hear or we are live streaming, well, I couldn't say different either, but I do love the church that I serve, and it's been a blessing for these 11 years, and my family are a very great support, my wife and my children, and they really love the church, and they always involved, and that encourages us. So I encourage you today that you do the same with the church that you serve. Serve the Lord among the elders of the church, serve the Lord being here, and not only being here, being a true Christian and living for the glory of God, which is on today's day, how many churches are saying they are worshiping today? It's millions. But who are the true worshipers? Where are the ones that truly are able to commit for the gospel and are able to actually serve in the Lord? It's not as many. So be one of them. I am thankful to God because the church that we serve, they are commit with the gospel. And even we feel we can see that, and we can see God changing lives. But today I didn't came to preach about the church of Ministério Philadelphia. We came for the Word of God. Amen. So, and you have your notes there, and I see there is a few questions there. I don't know how Pastor Joe come up with these questions. I don't know who's going to answer. No, just kidding. I did send these questions to Pastor Joe. I by the way, Pastor Joe I love Pastor Joe. I consider him as a good friend. I think he considers myself as a good friend. I'm not sure after today if he's still. But as far as now, it has been a great privilege. And a couple of years ago, you may not remember this, but a couple of years ago, we were on a TGC event, North Jersey, and he brought the Word of God on the Psalms and how important it was to preach the Psalms. I went back to church and I make a series for, I don't know, many months on the Psalm 119. So for the ones that are here and found that a little too much, speak with Pastor Joe in the end, okay? But there was, it's really, I never have done that before. So yes, it's a big impact in our church, and is, as I said, is a good friend. Today, we're going to speak a little bit of Christian worldview. What is Christian worldview? And we heard a lot about that. We did a series in our church, which just ended Friday. During a month and a half, I believe, we were talking about a Christian worldview. What is a Christian worldview? It took us about a month and a half to do that, so I hope you have time today. And for that time and a half, that month and a half, we were going little by little and trying. On Sundays, we had that sermon, and during the week, on Fridays, some Fridays, we were talking about how that impacts my life. It is so important that we understand that we have, all of us have a vision of the world, and you have one. The question is, do you have God's vision of the world? That's what's really important. It doesn't matter much what the world says that is happening. It matters what God is saying that it's happening, and how things are happening in the world, and how those things impact my life. And there is a couple questions there in the bulletin. It says, where do we came from? What are we doing here? Where are we going? And if I ask you, if I pass by you on the street and I ask you these questions, I think you quickly will say, you'll have a quick answer. And probably you will even pull a couple Bible verses to say that. Well, God created me. That's awesome. That's true. God created us. That's correct. I guess so. That's where I came from. And you may even say, because I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. I hope you have that assurance. That's great. That's wonderful. Maybe the question is, what am I doing here, right? And some of us will say, well, by God's grace, I am right now in Wayne. Or you may think, because God is so merciful, I have a family, I have a job, and that's correct too. But it's a lot more than that. It's a lot deeper than that. Knowing those truths, those things impacts our life. And if you notice, on the last couple of years, people have been trying to find out who they are. More and more people try to find out who they are. And now even little kids try to find out who they are. They no longer know who they are. And some of the parents, they don't know who the children are. And I'm speaking physically. I don't think I have to go any further, because I'm pretty sure you know already what I'm talking about with all this LGBTQ movement. We don't know anymore who we are. And then people grow up, right? They have to find themselves. I have to find myself, because I'm not sure. So, and maybe I will be one of those persons, right? I born in Germany, I was raised in Portugal, and I'm an American citizen. I'm so confused. I need to find myself. So now we have these websites, right? If you did that, I'd rather not, but maybe you did that, right? You go to the DNA thing and you put all of that information and you find out that you are related to someone. And sometimes I think some people get so ashamed who they are related to, they never tell anyone who they are related to. But some of them, if he's related to someone very important, they get so happy and proud, right? I am 50% something, and I'm 25% something else, and I am related to this wonderful person in history. I honestly don't want to do that, because when I look back to my family, I'm pretty sure it's something wrong there, and I rather don't know. But people want to find themselves, so they want to find a way to connect with something. And on the other day, we were talking at home, and my kids were trying to pull something. They want to justify something, and they said, "Well, we all the same because we all came from Adam and Eve." And I said, "That's correct, but it doesn't work that way here, because it wasn't a specific thing. They want to have equal rights with something that I don't remember, maybe a candy or something like that, and that was now working. But we want to know who we are. And in the last couple of years, this became so crucial. People want to know who they are and find out themselves in something bigger than themselves. And it's so simple, because it's in the scriptures. It's so simple to know those things. But knowing that, living that, change our daily life. Let's read the Word of God. Ephesians 2:10. You probably can say it without even reading, but let's read together this text, this small text. There will be a few others. The Word of God said, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Let's pray. Can I pray? Father, we ask you, Lord, that your word may be clear to our minds and will change, will create a change in our soul. In Jesus' name, amen. I think this Bible text is very clear. God created everything for His glory, and He created us or recreated us for the good works to produce something greater than ourselves. For us to understand clearly what this Bible verse says, we have to go back to the beginning. We have to understand, and this message will have 4 points, and you have it on your bulletin: creation, fall, redemption, and glorification. I think the first one, the last one, is not there. Maybe I didn't send it by mistake. Creation, fall, redemption, and glorification. We have to understand that God created everything, but is a lot more than that, because God created all things. All things exist for one purpose, included ourselves, especially ourselves. In Genesis 1:1, and you know this verse, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." In the beginning of all things, God created all things, because nothing existed apart of Him. And so this means, and knowing this, and again, we talk about Christian worldview, is not just knowing that in spring, the plants will raise and the flowers, because God created them. It means you woke up breathing because God exists. And when you came to this place and you stand and you breathe, you're breathing God's air. You're standing on God's creation, which is the earth. One of the things that always came to my mind to understand this is, for every time that I breathe, and on the last days it became so serious breathing, right? You may breathe the wrong thing. We are breathing God's air. It belongs to Him. The Kevin Young, he points out the same with when he wakes up in the morning and he stands on a firm ground. It's God's ground. Maybe for you something else comes to your mind. It's interesting that we close our eyes and pray to thank God for the food and the drink. And to get a glass of water, and you have this understanding that it's God's provision. And you pray, right? You're going to have a meal and you close your eyes and you pray. And that's awesome and you should do that. But it's not just the food. It's the fact that you are moving on God's world. Do you want, that's one, another thing that we have to connect to this thought is when you read in the Gospels, in the four Gospels, that Jesus came or Jesus went or Jesus walked on Jesus, something happened, because everything that God does has a purpose. Amen? Hold on to that thought. We're going back to creation in a second. In the Gospels, every time you see Jesus arrived or Jesus left, something will happen. Because He's different than us. Everything that He does it for a purpose. We do have purpose, but sometimes it's confused. You don't know exactly why you're watching this show or why you go into sleep at this time. But everything that God does, He does with His own mind, infinite mind. So if the life of Jesus was like this, think about creation. When by his word he said and things happened. So what the first thing that we need to understand, we need to go back to creation and understand that we are not in our world making our rules and bringing our ideas and expect God will go along with what we think. In the last couple of years, this movement came up very strong, very, very powerful, saying that God learned from us. You say, like, how ridiculous is that? Not more ridiculous than living on the God's world and thinking I can do whatever I want, that God will take it. It's the same idea. Actually, when you will be when you'll be very surprised with the big heresy that comes up, like something really huge. It's not that somebody just came up with that in the morning, just was taking a shower and go like, hey, I have an idea, what about? No, it comes by little, and he born in Christian circles, saying that I have the power over my life, I can do whatever I want, and in the end, God will take it or not, and maybe he's going to take it, and he starts with an idea, I'm going to change God's mind. That's scary. I don't want to change God's mind. I have nothing to teach him. I am a no one. I'm a nobody. I have been created by him. So the first thing before we leave creation and go to the fall, we need to understand, why did God create you? Why did God create me? He created me for his own glory, to glorify his name, to give glory to him. That's why he created us. That's why he created this whole world. He was not just so lonely, had nothing to do. You know, sometimes we think, the way we put it out, creation is like God was in quarantine. You know, like the kids were in quarantine last year and they had nothing to do. If you have kids at home, you know how that goes. Dad, I have nothing to do. It doesn't work with mom, because mom was going to find them something to do. Like this quick. I have nothing. So God had nothing to do. It was some kind of a quarantine. And he was like, you know what? What about if I create a man? You think that's what happened? We have to stop acting like that's what happened. I know you're not going to say this, but sometimes we act like that. No, God was perfect in himself, complete. We are studying the attributes of God this year. Our brother Marcy is teaching us that on Sunday mornings. We're doing a live together. It's been great. We go over the attributes of God. I think it's the third time in 11 years in our church, and it takes a whole year. I think it's the third time. Because it's so important when you study the attributes of God, you understand you're nothing. You're absolutely nothing, and you need to know that. And you probably at this time going to say, really, Pastor Lazardo brought a guy here to tell us that we are nothing? Well, sorry to break it down to you, but you are nothing, I am nothing, when we compare ourselves to God and to the creation. He created us with a purpose, and we better get it done. Because he's God, and we are breathing God's air. So just for the fact that you live in God's world, and if you live not for his glory, is already a sin. So for every moment in the beginning of the creation, when God created the whole thing, we're not even talking about the fall yet. We're not talking about the fall yet. We didn't get there yet. It's just on the creation. Using what God gives us without being for his glory is a sin already. If this needs to change your daily actions, the way you work, the way you think, the way you treat things that belongs to God. When you get, like somebody comes to you, I don't know how you deal with these things. Maybe let's bring something that is important to you. Think about something that is very important to you. When we were kids, one of the things that were important to me was a bicycle, right? It was very important to me, my bicycle. For the kids today, it's video games, right? Nobody cares about bicycles, but the bicycle was so important. And I had this bicycle, it was beautiful. It was the most beautiful bicycle I ever saw in my life. It was blue and gray, and had white tires. I will never forget. And sometimes a friend comes and says, "Can I ride your bicycle?" And I go like, "No. Why should you ride my bicycle?" "Because I don't have one." "Sorry." I was kind of mean. I think I'm going to pray and ask forgiveness. I will be right back. No. And then, but sometimes we'll let somebody, like a special friend, go in the bicycle. And you got to go, "You're going to stay here because I want to see you." And he was too close from the door. "Psst, psst. I want to see you because it's my bike." We live in God's world. He's overseeing what we're doing with His world. You breathe God's air. You are accountable for that air that you just breathed, that you just inhaled, because He created for His glory. This is so serious. This is so important. And we do it so many times and so quickly, and we not even pay attention. But if I ask you, this world belongs to God, you'll say yes. But how that actually impacts our daily life, how we treat God's creation, how we treat one another, how we deal, for example, with recycling. You see, it's not everybody does. Yeah, but a Christian does it for a different reason. A lot of people do recycling because they don't want to get a ticket. Is that right? It is? Yeah. I don't know. It depends on where you live. If I get the wrong thing in the garbage, I'm going to get a ticket. So, and that's very, that's a very good point to make us do recycle, right? Because nobody's going to get a ticket. Does a Christian need that? No. He wants to do recycling. I'm giving a simple example. Because it's not because the ticket. It's not because everybody does. It's because it helps to take care of the planet that God created. And I just brought this example to make it very clear how this fact, or the fact that God created all things, changed the way I act. It changes daily. How I understand how important is life. And I know you have been involved as a church or a pro-life, I believe, right? Actions, and that's so important. That's why. Why is a Christian against abortion? And now you know a lot more than that, I know, because I know the church works a lot on that. It's because, well, it's a right for the ones that don't have a voice. No, it's a lot more than that. It's a sin against God. Because life belongs to God. It's that. So every time you see something good coming from the world, you know if it is good. It's not because it came from the world, it came from God. But we as a Christian take a step further, because it got to be something deeper, bigger than what the world can see, because we have the Christian worldview. This is important. This is necessary. We cannot just do like everybody else does. It got to be something bigger, and something bigger that is in God. And that's only creation. Until what time we have, by the way? Pastor Joe, what time we have? 5 o'clock? Because our service is at 6. No, I'm going to move a little faster, I promise. So, fall. So this is only about creation. Brothers, it took a long time for us to get to it, so I'm trying to bring it very little. And my idea is not giving you everything about creation. My idea, it's giving you a little something that's going to make you think how creation, how the fact that God created all things, it belongs to Him and were created for His glory, will change your life. Second, fall. Romans 6:23, part A says, "For the wages of sin is death." We read in the beginning, the verse that we start with said, "For we have been created in Christ Jesus for the good works." And I spoke on the creation, that God created us for His glory, to live according to His glory, and He has a purpose, and everything He does has a purpose. So when He created us for His glory. Now, we have the problem with sin. What happened? The man fall in sin. He sinned against God. God, it had separated us from the glory of God and from the possibility to do what we were created for. Now, when you have something at home that stops working, you either fix it, or if it's no way to be fixed, you toss it. Is that right? That's what we do, especially in the United States, right? We don't fix anything. We just, and we get a new one. It's a lot cheaper than fix, right? I find that that's not true, by the way. I start fixing a lot of things at home because we'll start costing a small fortune. So, but anyway, so it doesn't, unless it's, so otherwise we toss it. So, to God, in God's eyes, He created us for His glory. Now sin separated us from that. We can no longer do what God created us for. We are in sin. And sometimes we think it's sin, like it affects a little bit. It's kind of broken, but it's kind of can get fixed. No. That's why we believe in total depravity. The sin affects every area of our lives and is all broken, disgusting. We are disgusting before the holiness of God. You may think, if you think in something that disgusts you the most, like I'm not going to say, because it's not the church that I serve, because that I say a lot of things and then they get very upset with me. But I'm not going to do it here. But think about something that is very disgusting, like the worst thing you ever can imagine. Before God, we were allowed worse than that. Infinite times worse. Nothing that we could do glorified God anymore, because it comes from a sinful nature. So if you wake up in the morning and say, you know what, I'm going to live for God's glory. First of all, you're never going to think that. Second, even if you could, you could not do it. Because that's what sin does. It stops us from doing what God wants us to do. Notice, I didn't say it stops us from doing what the world thinks is right. It stops us from doing what God wants us to do. It destroys everything. It goes against God's creation, because it goes against God's glory. That's what sin is. And sin became normal in our lives. And that's a thing that sometimes we tend to forget. That you deal not only with your sinful nature. We're going to talk about the redemption soon. And I believe that we in Christ, we are saved and we've been redeemed. And I know that, but we talk about fall still. We talk about the sin still. It's not only that we deal with our sinful nature, we deal in the world that is in sin. And we tend to forget that. You tend to watch the news, and then you say, right, should I watch Fox or CNN? No answer. Everybody knows what to do. Yeah, pretty sure. But it's not only that. Is when you turn the TV on, you have a conversation with someone, be aware that sin, it's there somehow, and it may affect you. No, not may, it will, if you're not aware of it. The sin comes in the news. Not just showing what sin is, it comes with a world view that if he's not Christian, we're going to present sin somehow on a way that leads you to accept it. Take a look what happened this year. 12 months being bombarded with ideas, crazy ideas, a worldview totally against God's word. And what really bothers me is when I see people believing they are God's people, accepting that the world will say something bigger than what the Word of God says. People living under fear, but not the fear of the Lord, fear of something else. They believe they can face with something that someone came up with, not trusting the Lord, not turning themselves to Christ, and letting these crazy worldly ideas command our mind. I'm not even saying they are committing sin. They're letting the sin control. When you go home today, and if you kind of person that watch the news, I hope you are, watch the news and filter everything that you heard by the Word of God, and you'll see how much sin comes through those ideas. It's so obvious. If you watch, a movie or you hear a song, and even if you know, you know what, Pastor, I don't even have a TV at home. I was in a big scandal when I came here. I saw two TVs. I was like, Pastor Lazardo. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding, brothers, please. And so if you watch TV, I don't know what your position is, but if you watch TV or you have for sure Facebook, I saw the church has a Facebook, and you go, and it's so much there, isn't it? It's so easy. You're like, pick. Remember, for every time you click on, it's like, what, 90% chances that you're clicking on something that will bring a worldview that is not Christian? You may say, no. My Facebook is holy. I don't know what your Facebook is. Mine is not. It's so much stuff that it shouldn't be. That we watch, it comes through us. And sometimes you're not even seeking those things, isn't it? Let me just clear. I'm not talking about pornography. I'm talking about pornography and everything else, okay? Because some people think that's the problem, the big problem, right? It's a big problem, brothers. It's a big problem, brothers and sisters. I'm not saying that it's not. I'm saying it's that among everything else. All the little jokes. And I am a kind of person that likes to joke. I think you noticed that by now. And I think, especially a pastor, must be a happy person, right? And a happy person laughs, I think, I don't know. But it's not that I'm saying. It's what are you laughing about? What amuses you? Sin comes on so many different ways and brings a perspective. And remember, everybody has, I don't know if I said that in the beginning, everybody has a worldview. I think I did. Everybody has. The thing is, yes, I did. The thing is, if you have a Christian worldview or you have something else. Nobody can say, I don't care where did I came from, what am I doing here, and where am I going. That's not true. Everybody has an idea about that. Everybody has. The problem is, what is it? And you know what's worse is when somebody says, I don't care. That's a lie. Now he's denying his own worldview. Okay? That's important. You do have. The person that is writing the news has. The person that wrote the joke that you are laughing about has. The teachers of school, they have. That's why it's so important to have a Christian education, right, for our kids. We had Mrs. Adam on our daughter's class for a long time. It's so important. That's why we seek those, right? That's why we want the kids to go to Sunday school. That's why we go to Sunday school, I hope. Because we need that, right? Because we need to learn. We need to have a Christian worldview. Because everybody has one. A worldview, not a Christian worldview. It's not such a thing as a neutral thing. That's a big lie. I should start by that, saying that. That's a lie. Don't trust that. That's not true. Everybody has a religion. The atheist person is the most religious person I know. How can he possibly believe so deeply in something so ridiculous? He has a strong faith on that thing. He's crazy about that thing, right? He does believe that God doesn't exist. What a big faith he has, right? Everything came from nowhere. Whoa! Whoa! Isn't that amazing? He goes to the zoo and he sees he thinks he's his cousin. All right, let's stop here. I think it's time for water. So, when you deal with people that think their way, they will bring, and Satan will use that to bring to you and question your faith and your beliefs. And everything that comes, it doesn't come straight. The problem is this. What I want to show you today on this point of the message with the fall, it's the sin will come bringing those things little by little to your life. And you're never going to say God doesn't exist, but you're going to start acting if God doesn't care. That's the first problem. Oh, God doesn't care about this. Really, on his world, he's watching us riding the bicycle, but he doesn't care? The example of the bicycle that I just gave? I don't think so. No, I don't think so. That's not what the scriptures show us. He's either for his glory or he's not. Sin in your life is a problem. But the sin that comes close to your life through the worldview, it's a problem too. Will affect us. On the other day, my boys, they wanted to go to a comic book store. And everybody there, it's younger than me, knows what it is. I have no idea. I'm too old for that, but you probably know, right? But I have an idea what it is. So I stopped on the door and I said, you guys can go and you have to act like a Christian on a comic book store. That's the biggest challenge, right? And they look at me like, what? I said, are you a Christian? Yeah, we are everywhere we go. Yeah, so go to a comic book store as a Christian. Go walk in. They came out with nothing. Well, I gave only $5 each one, so it didn't work much either. But anyway, that's what it is. Go to the coffee shop. I don't know how you feel about Starbucks, so go to Dunkin' Donuts. Fits everyone, even the police. Go to the Dunkin' Donuts and act like a Christian. I got to stop sometime today. Act like a Christian. What does that mean? The way you ask your coffee, the way you talk to that person that is next to you, he may be a lost person. Tell him about the gospel. I said, go, like that? What? After Jesus comes, it's no longer necessary. What? Do it now, of course. How? Just say it. Say what's in your heart. The fact that we understand the fall, and we're moving right now for the redemption, leads us to evangelize. We know how dangerous, how endangered that person that is next to us on Dunkin' Donuts. That person is in danger of eternal condemnation. The rest of the verse that I just read from Romans 6:23 says, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you believe that? Is that a fact in your life? If it is, you want to tell the others about salvation. Creation, fall, redemption. Right there. You cannot even separate much if you're a Christian, right? Can you? No. Because you have been redeemed from your sins. You've been saved from the wrath of God through Christ. And Easter is here. That's what it is. You don't know how to start a conversation. Sometimes I hear that. I don't know how to start a conversation about the gospel. Do you believe enough? That should be the question before. I don't even know you. But maybe you're one of those persons. I don't know how to start a conversation about the gospel. Let me ask you first. Do you believe, really believe? I love V6 on a truck. Everybody, anybody with me? I know our elder is. I love a V6 at least on a truck, right? That fits, that makes sense to me in my mind. I like hiking. That's the kind of stuff that I like. I like bacalhau. For the ones who know what that is this Portuguese codfish. Right? It tastes beautifully. It's a meal, okay? Codfish. Everybody knows what this, right? The Portuguese, they do it 1,001 ways, they say. It's crazy, right? It's something for us. I know how to talk about those things, okay? Don't come to me with a burger and compare to my codfish, because I'm going to be really mad with you. And don't come with your little car with the four cylinders telling me it's more economic than a V6 on a truck, because you are so wrong, it's not even funny, because that doesn't really matter. You know what I'm trying to bring here? When you really know something, you really believe in something, you are going to say it, and you don't know how to talk, because you believe. I even forgot the other example. Oh, the hiking. Oh, hiking is hard. Tough it up. Just go hike, right? That's kind of things. Because you believe. You do believe. You believe. You say it. You affirm it. And you believe in God. Jesus that died for you in your place. And you have eternal life. You are free from condemnation. And you don't know how to start a conversation. Do you believe enough? Do you really believe? Is your worldview based on, is your Christian, your worldview is a Christian worldview based of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life? Or you know how to start a conversation about the gospel? Because that's you. It's God in you. It's a firm belief more than anything else. Tell the others. That's something that really bothers me today, is the way people start conversations about the gospel. Oh, you believe that way? I'm going to have to disagree with you. In a very polite way, right? You're going to disagree. Well, but maybe it's not exactly that. Do you, seriously, where do you get that? We start conversations about the gospel, but we're not firm about it. Because the worldview tells us that you have to respect everybody's opinion. And it takes us back to the beginning, right? The creation. God created a man, and he is a man, physically a man. But maybe he's not a man. How do you think that starts? Let's find somebody guilty on that. Let's find a guilty person on that. Let's get somebody the fault on that. Now, we don't know exactly. People trying to find themselves. I start with that. A lack of firm of gospel preaching, a firm understanding of the true, and say it, this is the true of God. I think different. You are wrong. I don't believe the Bible. You are going to hell. You say, no, but you can't say that. Really, you cannot say that? You may not want to say it, but that's what we know from God's word. We know this is what the scripture says. You don't come up with these ideas. A lot of times I've been telling the gospel to people, and people tell me, well, that's your opinion, and my answer is, actually, it's not. I did not told you my opinion. I'm just telling you what the word of God says. It's not my opinion. You don't want to know my opinion. By the way, your opinion doesn't matter. We have so many opinions today, right? Everybody has an opinion about something. Everybody has a truth to tell. Jesus is the truth. Period. We tell the gospel. We believe. We need to put the lenses of Christianity through the Word of God and affirm firmly what the Word of God says, and everything else, it's not true. That's simple. A lot more simple than what we are doing. We got these big debates, right? And we're talking about big things. And sometimes I see this, and I hear this person has this opinion, and that person has the true, and the other one has another opinion. And in the end, what I look to it is, the cards, the castle cards that we make, the houses with cards, and no foundation, you know what I'm saying? Then you do the game with the cards, what do you call it? I don't know. In Portuguese, it's called castle, card castle or something. And you build that up, and somebody touches the table, and everything falls. And that's how I see it, because I don't see nobody says, this is what it is. It's not to for you to debate. It's to defend your faith and debate opinions. It's very different. I haven't seen so little of defending of the faith, and I see so much of bringing opinions to the gospel. The gospel does not need your opinion. Redemption is the reality that brings you to eternity. Don't bring it at something that is a maybe. Usually when somebody comes to the house to tell me about something, some religion, I usually do this. I let the person speak. I want to understand what the person has to tell me, right? And the other day was very interesting. Somebody believes in multiple heavens. But heaven is very strange, like stages. And you go like, wow, that's kind of interesting. That's kind of, you remind me of a video game, right? That my kids play, like the Mario thing. And you go with this level, and then you go to another level, and there is another level, and the other level that you have to unblock. I go like, cool, my kids would love to play that game. I didn't say that. I wanted, but I didn't. Sometimes I control myself. Usually it's that moment that my wife looks at me and I know it's too much. This is a little far. That's why I have I'm a little bit out of control today. And I'll get it in the car the way home, believe me. At least I'll get it for this one. And when we... And I hear that whole thing, and then the person finally stops. You get to an end. I told her, that's wrong. And I told him what's true. And usually by then, I'm ready to say goodbye. Because I know the truth. It's not because I'm good. It's not because I study the truth. It's because God is true and I know Him. He created me for His glory. The sin took me away from it. But now He redeemed me, died for my sins. And I know that. I believe that. It's in my heart. It's not something that I think it is. Sometimes you think things, right? And after a couple of years, you fail. You say, oh, it's wrong. Oh, I was on that time. I never had, praise the Lord, many health issues. But one time, the doctor said I had cholesterol, right? And it was on that time that people believed, you probably remember that eggs was a problem. I love eggs. And he said, you cannot have eggs. I said, seriously? Eggs, can you take something else, like vegetables or fruits? Eggs? What are you going to take after? The codfish, which is big for us, as I said. What was that? And there was that time, I don't know if you remember, there was a big debate on it. And right after, somebody came saying the eggs were great for cholesterol. I never heard my doctor again. That's what I want to hear, right? Is that Christianity? That sounds like the Gospels like this? Why do you reject something new about the Gospel? Somebody comes with an idea, right? God told me tonight that I have to add. It's very interesting. I know a guy now. I heard about a guy. He is the fourth person of Trinity. Now, that's amazing. Even the math is wrong, right? It's the person number four from the Trinity, which is three, right? I mean, even the math is kind of weird. But when you got something like that, you say, like, oh, I have to reject that. That's wrong. Is that true? You do that way? Of course you do. So if nothing changed on the gospel and on the presentation of the gospel, why do we have to smooth it out? It's the same. If that's what we're doing. In this opinion, the world tells us you cannot disrespect someone. And I'm not telling you to disrespect someone. I tell you to preach the gospel. What is disrespecting? It's the unbelief
about Jesus. That's disrespectful.
John MacArthur said, if the word of God offends someone, let it offend. They spend their whole lives offending Christ. And that's what it is. How many times you walk away from church very offended from the because of the message? And on that week, your life changed? Anybody? I did. Get so mad. Why did the pastor have to say that? We got that sometimes. I have people in our church confess that already. And the other ones, they're more polite. But I have people in our church, truly, they told me, I was so mad with you on the other day about what you said. But now I know it's what it is. Tell people about Christ. Don't tell them about the gospel. Clearly, boldly. If you believe in creation, you believe in fall, you believe in redemption, you know you're going to heaven. And that's the last part of our message. Glorification. A complete worldview don't end on this earth. A completely Christian worldview will not end on this earth. It doesn't end when you die. You will live forever with Christ. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 4 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable and definite and unfading, kept in heaven for you. If you are saved, you know you're going to live in heaven. So everything that happened in this earth is a temporary thing. It's not that much important. How important it is what you're going to have for lunch today if you're going to live in heaven. How important it is where you live, the neighborhood, the work you do, if you're going to live in heaven. Let me tell you one thing. The person that lives with you, the person next to you, well, is not 6 feet apart from you, tomorrow at work, will know that you're going to live in heaven. He can see that you have such a joy that as someone that knows that's going to live in heaven forever, aren't you like everybody else? Tomorrow you're going to work with a Monday face. I think the Monday face is so strange, right? But you know what's wrong? It's not the Monday face, because everybody has a little bit of it. Except the pastor, right? The pastor like the Mondays. Usually the Monday is off. I don't know if it's the case here, but in some cases it's not my day off, but in some cases it's. The problem is not the Monday face. You know what the problem is? It's the TGI Fridays, and not the restaurant though. It's when a Christian is happy, more happy about Friday than the Lord's Day. That's a problem. And I see so much of that. It's Friday. Now I just have to go back to work on Monday. Acting like the work, it's a curse. You know, work is not a curse. God created work. He created man and put man to work. God created man and put man to work. Now the sin makes the work hard. That's what the Bible says. Monday, it's the day, I'm assuming you work Monday to Friday, right? Monday is the day that you go with joy to your workplace because God is giving you opportunity to live on His world for His glory, doing part of the creation by doing work. That's important. That's part of it. And as somebody that understands sin, you're going to work on a different way, showing redemption. And your joy is not Friday because you don't work on Saturday. Again, assuming you work Monday to Friday. No. It's Sunday. And next Sunday is the most beautiful Sunday of the year, the Sunday of the resurrection. Sunday, it's Lord's Day. It's not your day. It's not the day to slip in. It's a day to worship. It's a day to praise the Lord. It's a day, not that you're not going to worship and praise the Lord every day, but it's a day, special day, separate for that fact. And you go to church and you praise and you worship and you hear the Word of God. And Monday you go with that encouragement to your work and you show the others that your hope, it's not on the job that you do, it's not on the paycheck, it's not on anything else, but it's on what you heard on Sunday at church that looks and points to eternity. The joy of a Christian, it's heaven. Years ago, I was in Ocean Grove. And I was crossing the street, and my Tiago was very little. Tiago is my oldest one. It was very little. And we are crossing the street, and there was that moment that he was being exposed to video games, so he was very enthusiastic about it. And we were telling him about heaven, like all the time. That is something that, please, let me just interrupt you for a second. Not only talk about heaven, dream with heaven. Make sure God creates a great desire in your heart about heaven because you need it so badly. Jonathan Edwards used to say, please, Lord, put it on my eyes, heaven. I'm translated from Portuguese, so it's not exactly the sentence, but that's what he means. Bring the heaven into my eyes on a way that I can see heaven, that I can have joy and desire for heaven. That's so important. But we were crossing the street, and Tiago said this to me. Father, is that video games in heaven? And I said, no. And he stopped in the middle of the street. And I believe on that moment he thought, I better go home, pack my PlayStation and those games and my remotes. And not, because if I go to heaven, I want to take it with me and I want to show Jesus what he's missing out. That's what I think was in his mind, the way he looked at me. Of course, all of this is my imagination after, right? So I explained to him, and I had to explain to him, what is so important about heaven? And you know what's sad? A lot of Christians doesn't know. You talk about heaven with somebody, and the person is, that's great, because in heaven is no more pain. Well, that's true. Is that what really matters? Let's go one of those pain. Just take a Tylenol. So, well, a Tylenol doesn't work anymore. Take something a little stronger and think it's heaven. You say, oh, you're not. Come on, I'm over 40. I know what I'm talking about. I'm start going on that age that everything hurts. I know what I'm talking about. Brothers, is that what's important in heaven? There is no more pain. There is no more sorrows. You don't cry anymore. Well, yeah. Is that what really matters? Let's go to Cancun for a week. You don't cry there. You'll cry when you have to come back. Go do something like that. What is heaven all about? Why is heaven important? It's because Jesus Christ is there. Do you understand that? The glory of God, like never seen before, you cannot even imagine. And that's a song, right? You can't, it's like get the most beautiful service you ever had and bring all that joy of, better, get all the service you ever had, bring that all joy together. It's still not even to compare, not even for a little bit, not a glimpse what heaven is when the presence of God is there and you are free from sin. You can no longer sin against God. You know that struggle that you have today? That you try to stay away from sin, and sometimes you go like, "Lord, forgive me. How could I have done this?" And you seek holiness, and I hope you do, and may God bless you, and you keep going. But it's so hard. Heaven doesn't have that. There's no way for you to sin in heaven. But sometimes we are like, no longer Tiago, no longer like this, but like before. Sometimes we're like Tiago. We want in heaven everything that works here. And it's so interesting how people want to find pets in heaven. You heard that? They want a half of the pat in heaven. They don't care about the cousin that is in sin. They go on to pat. It's so important that my little puppy will be in heaven. Well, about my cousin that is going to clearly to hell, well, he made his own choice. Ah, really? As you didn't. You did not make a choice to sin against God. You're not responsible for your act. You've been saved by grace and grace alone and Christ alone. People paint heaven on such a material, physical way that is disgusting. It's so interesting, right? We care about those. I'm not saying those paintings, they're all wrong. But some of them, they just point out what is in your heart. In heaven, we have all this gold. What, you're going to sell it? But seriously, because if you have all this gold, you go somewhere on a legal place, because you're Christian, and you're going to sell it, right? What are you going to do with all the gold that is in heaven? Can't you understand that the beauty of a heaven is the presence of Christ Jesus, where you're going to be? How much joy must be in your life every single day, knowing that you are going to hell, and because Christ Jesus, you'll be living in heaven, not by works, but by what He has done for you. We miss it so much. I can't stand a Christian being living as someone that has no hope. I can't deal with that. I can't. I'm not saying there is no troubles. I'm not saying there is no hard times. I'm not saying there is some moments that you cry and you are desperate with so many things. And sometimes it's not spiritual. Because when they are spiritual, they are good. But sometimes they're not. You lose things that you love. You lose people that you love. Pandemic brought that to a reality. I may even say this, and maybe you're one of them. They lost somebody that you really love, and you cry about it. It's obvious. It's normal. I'm not saying that is a sin to do that. What I'm saying is that is a sin. Living a complete life with no hope for someone that's going to live in heaven. Actually, I have my questions on that. If you don't have joy, this joy from being together on the worship, what brought you here? Well, for sure not my broken English, I'm sure. You're still here, I'm sure it's not my English. It would be terrible. A lot of times happened to me, I finish preaching in English, somebody comes to me and says, I want to talk to you about the message, and I'm hoping you understand something about the Word of God. They go like, you know that word that you said in the message, that's not correct English. So if you're planning doing that in the end, send me an email. No, you can do that, please. I'll be happy if you help me. But, you know, why are you still here? What are you doing in this place? It's the joy of heaven that comes to your heart every Sunday, and you come to church to worship the one that died for you. You will be with him in heaven. And you think your problem is big? Why do we have to live like the world? We go on Monday to work, we're so upset, and on Friday we are so happy because you go home, and on Sunday we're going to do everything else that the world does, and on Monday go back. Did God call you to live like that? Did you forget the purpose of creation? For God's glory, glorify the Lord. Live with joy. It must be joy in our lives continually. We have the joy that nobody else will not even understand. Now, it's not that the world doesn't have. They can't understand. Joy. Living every day for God's glory. Worshiping. Creation, fall, redemption, glorification. I used to say in our church, if you believe in those four and you have them in your life, not just you believe it by saying, but you actually live this,
You are my brother.
You may have a different way to do service. You maybe have little difference in many things. Maybe you sing in a different way. Maybe you even do the Lord's meal in a different way. You know, you're doing the Lord's meal today. But you are my brother. You know God created for His glory. You know sin affect that. You have been redeemed. And you live with joy because you're going to be in heaven. You are my brother. And you will share that same joy because you're going to live in heaven. Concluding today the sermon. And you say, finally, amen. And some people laugh as they got it. I'm just kidding. Brothers, I said irmãos because it's brothers, I'm sorry. We need, desperate, to have the Christian worldview. Why this message came to my heart a couple months ago when we started working on this? I think it was December. But we just conclude this Friday. So I didn't start it right away. We wait and then we start it. Because what happened during this year with the pandemic? We have been striving away as a church in general from a worldview that is not a Christian worldview impacting our daily lives, and we have been forgetting what the Word of God says. Brothers, God created us for His glory. He sent His Son because we couldn't make it anymore. And because of Him, we'll see Him, the glory of the Father in heaven for eternity. May God bless your souls. May God bless all of us. And never forget those truths. This is the reason why you're here. This is the reason why you were created. And this is your hand that brings us all together in God alone for His glory.